Turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Today we're following up on our first sermon of 2011. Last week we looked at Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel and the story of how mankind became so full of himself, so arrogant in his aspirations to make a name for himself, that God intervened. And of course, we know this was all God's plan from the beginning anyway, but God intervenes. God says, no, mankind, humanity, I'm not going to let you delude yourself into thinking that you can actually build a tower to heaven. Okay? I'm not going to let you delude yourself into thinking that you can actually do anything you set your mind to. Now, God acknowledged in that story last week, remember, okay, they can all speak one language, and if they can come together and do all these things, being able to speak one language, then nothing that they purpose to do will be impossible to them. And what God was saying in scattering them and in confusing human language, he was essentially saying, I don't want you to pursue your plans. He's saying to the human race, your plans are not what you need to be about. You're the creature, I'm the creator, and I want you to be about my plans. And so God scatters the nations to the four winds, to the four corners of the earth. He sends them out, all confused, all speaking different languages, all these different tribes and tongues. And we today still live in that world. We still are among the nations, different languages, different tribes, different groups of people all around the world. But God has done something now. God has sent a Redeemer, and he sent that Redeemer through one family that he chose to call out of all those nations of the earth, and he began that family with a guy named Abram. And so we're going to look at Abram today. This is the next chapter, right after chapter 11. We actually meet Abram in chapter 11. Sorry, Mallory, I'm going to move just over here so I don't trip over that cord. We meet Abram in chapter 11. Toward the end there, we see him. We find him in the list of descendants from Noah's oldest son, Shem. And if you actually go back, I'm kind of intrigued by things like genealogies and stuff like that. If you go back, and by the way, people back then lived a long time. Okay, Noah was 950 years old when he kicked the bucket. Old guy. Did you know that Noah, if you actually go back and you add up all the years that Noah lived after the ark landed and the animals went out and they began to repopulate the earth, Noah was still alive when Abram was alive. Interesting. I never noticed that before. I just picked that up a couple years ago, but I think that's really cool that Noah was still alive. Abram could have met Noah somewhere along the way. We don't know, but I think it's pretty fascinating. But Abram is this descendant of Noah's eldest son, Shem. And we see that God begins to call him. And so I want to read for you, click one more time, there's our scripture. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Follow with me this morning. Now the Lord said to Abram, and by the way, if you're using one of these Bibles, it's on page 8. It said, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this story. I thank you for the man, Abram. Before we ever meet Abraham, the great father of nations, we meet Abram. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see some things in this man's life today. But I pray most of all that you'll help us to see things about you that maybe we haven't noticed in this story before. Lord, it took great faith on the part of Abraham, on the part of Abram to follow you. But you are a God who is infinitely faithful. And so, Lord, help us to see that today. And help us, as the spiritual descendants of Abram, to discover afresh what it means to be a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. If you'll take out your notes sheet there, you should have gotten one of those with you. I had a little bit of printer trouble this morning, so they came a little later. But hopefully you've all got one of those. I want to notice some things, like I said, that maybe we hadn't noticed about the character of God. When we think about this story in Genesis 12, we often think about the call of Abram and the great faith that Abram had to exert to follow God, to obey the command of the Lord, to go from his homeland to a distant place that he had never been before and that was completely unfamiliar to him. But I want to notice some things about God. One thing, first thing here, is that God says to go from. Let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. God always calls his family to leave something. Do you know that? If God's going to call you to something, he's got to also call you to leave something. God calls his people to leave some things. God called Abram to leave his homeland. Oh boy, that's really not good, is it? Hey, Matt or Spencer, is there a way we can cut off this front tier of lights? I used a dark font, and that's going to be really hard to see. Well, it's not a lot better, but maybe it helps a little bit. God calls his family to leave something. What did God call Abram to leave? We're going to look at his life, and then I want to maybe ask some questions about our own lives. God called Abram to leave his homeland. Goodness, that was a mistake. His surroundings. He called him to leave his familiar surroundings. I don't know how many of you have ever had to uproot and leave and move and go to a new place, an entirely new place, maybe for a job, maybe for school. For me, it was school. In 2001, I left where I had grown up all 22 years of my life in Southwest Missouri to go to Louisville, Kentucky. I'd never been there, never lived there. It was a completely new environment for me. It was a much larger city than I'd ever lived in before. I just grew up in a small town. It was very diverse. You may not think of Louisville, Kentucky as a very diverse place, but there was way more diversity than Republic, Missouri, where I grew up. I graduated in a class of 180 people. There were no people of color in my graduating class. They all looked like me, all pretty much talked like me. Most of them were of some Protestant stripe of Christianity. We had very few Catholics. We had no Middle Easterners, no Muslims, no Jewish people, no people of other faiths. Basically all Christian belief system. And that was a culture shock for me then to move to a large city where just down the street we had a synagogue. We had a Baha'i temple. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Baha'i faith. It's kind of an Eastern tradition. There was one of those in Louisville, and I had never seen these things before. This is all new for me. God is calling Abram here to leave his geographical surroundings. When I moved to Louisville, I got lost. When I left Louisville and moved to Southwest Ohio, the Cincinnati area, I got lost for a few days while I was adjusting to the new place. When I left there in 2006 and moved to Perry, I got lost a lot. I had to find my way around. When we uproot ourselves from a familiar surrounding, it gets tough. And it was tough for Abram to have to think about leaving all the familiar surroundings of Haran, where he had lived. Now, Abram was born in a place called Ur. Pop up the map there, Tom. There should be a map back at the front. Yeah. I'm into geography and those kinds of things. I love maps, and so I put together this little thing. We're in the Middle East now. We're basically going to start our journey. Can you go back? Maybe forward. Yeah. We're in the Middle East. We're in the modern-day country of Iraq. Click it there is Ur. That's where Abram was born. Abram was born there in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was born in a place very close to where the Tower of Babel was. It was there in the Euphrates River Valley. And Abram's father, Terah, decided to take the family on a journey. We're going to leave Ur. We don't know why. We just learned in the last part of Genesis 11 that Terah decided to uproot and move his family to a place called Haran. It's interesting that that one of Terah's sons, one of Abram's brothers, name was Haran. And the city, Haran, may have actually come to be named after him. He may have, at some point, become a great man in that city. We don't know the connection there. But this Haran, this is where God called Abram. God didn't speak to Abram until he came to Haran. We know by all historical accounts that Abram was most likely an idol worshiper. He came from a family of idol worshipers. And when he lived in Haran, that's where God introduced himself. God came calling. And so this is where our journey in chapter 12 starts. When God speaks to him, he's living in Haran, and from there he tells him to journey southward. You're going to go, click it one more time, Tom, you're going to go to a place called Bethel. You're going to go to the land of the Canaanites, and that's the land I'm going to give you. But God called Abram to uproot, and we can go back to our slide there about what all Abram had to leave. He had to leave his surroundings. He had to leave his culture. Now, this was probably the greater shock for me. When I left home, it was the culture shock. It was the pace of life in a city. When Abram is called to leave Haran, he's not only called to leave familiar surroundings and all the roads that he knows and go to a place where he's never been. He's called to leave his culture, all the customs, all the religions, all the norms of society that he had lived in Haran. And this would have been a very difficult thing. And I don't know, maybe you can draw parallels to your life sometime in your life where you were uprooted from a familiar culture, a familiar way of life, and planted in a different culture, in a different way of life. It's difficult, but God calls his family at times to leave things, to leave homelands, to leave cultures. And last, he called him to leave his family. Now, this was the toughest. I didn't know how I was going to eat. My mom and dad are here today visiting. They came up this week to spend some time with Landon. Deborah and I had a retreat that we were needing to go to this week. And so my folks are here. And when I left home, it was tough for me. I had to fend for myself. You know, I had to find food. I had to go out and prepare meals. I lived off cereal, basically, and bologna for those first couple of years while I was living at seminary. And it was hard. But it wasn't just mom's cooking. I mean, it was being there present, being able to go over and visit with my dad and hang out with my grandparents and spend time with my sister, to leave those closest relationships that I'd ever had in the world and to go live in a place where I didn't have any and had to begin to build new relationships and a new network of friends and in a sense, a new network of family around me. And so now, Deborah and I, we live in Perry. We live in Northeast Ohio. We just came out of the holidays, and we got to spend time with both of our biological families. But for us, when we came back here, we came back to our family. The Faith Family of Bridge Church is our family. And we call on you when we have needs, and you call on us when you have needs. I think I mentioned last week in prayer time that, you know, 3 a.m. last Sunday morning, I get a call from Darren Penrose. They don't live close to their family either. Lauren was sick, needed to go to the emergency room, and he needed me to come and get Carter and take care of him while he took her to the emergency room. I mean, it's just, you begin to have to reach out. And Abram is having to do that. Abram had to take up all of his possessions, all of his family, his wife, and leave because God asked him to do it. And God calls us, he still does this stuff. You know, and we live in a world where, you know, yeah, the job market, you may have to uproot. You may have to relocate. But God himself, he still calls people to do that at times. I wouldn't be here if I didn't feel like God had called me to the ministry. I wouldn't have left for Louisville. I wouldn't have left Louisville for Hamilton, Ohio. I wouldn't have left Hamilton, Ohio if every step of the way I didn't feel like God was speaking to me to go, to get up and leave the familiarness of life in a particular place and go to a new place. And God still does that. And God may do that in your life. You know, I look forward and I pray for the day when God speaks to some of the people in this room. You know what? There's a community over here that doesn't have a church. You know what? There's a people group in this part of the world that's never heard the gospel. And I look forward to watching you as you interact with God and respond to his call in faith. And he's going to call you to leave some things, to leave the familiarness of your surroundings, to leave your culture and make adjustments to a new culture, and to leave your family. But we do this because God is faithful. Now remember, those are great sacrifices. These are great sacrifices that Abram had to make. But God doesn't call his people to make a sacrifice that he isn't willing to make. We have no example. We don't have to look for any other example than Christ. I mean, think about the hugeness of this call on Abram's life. And it was a final call, by the way. There was to be no going back. This was a permanent separation that Abram was making here from his culture, from his surroundings, and from his family. But God doesn't call us to make a sacrifice he's not willing to make himself. Trust me, Christ left more to come to this earth, to take up residence here on this earth and to live in a body and to live among us. He left the fellowship of the Trinity, perfect, eternal, harmonious, wonderful fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He left all that for us. So whatever it is God may be calling you to right now or in the future, Jesus left more. And he is our example. God doesn't call us to make a sacrifice he isn't willing to make. So God calls us from things. He also calls us to things. This is the second part here of verse 1. It's all one sentence. In the same sentence that God calls Abram, get up, leave your country, leave your family, leave your culture, he says, go to something else. God always calls his family to pursue a greater blessing. I'm really sorry that the screen is not working out, but just listen close. I'll give you all the answers for your blanks there. God calls his family to pursue a greater blessing. Look at this, verse 1. Now the Lord said, Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you. Clear as mud, right? Okay, God, you're going to give me a name of this land? What's the name of this place that I'm going to go to? No, just go and I will show you every step of the way. God calls his family to put their faith in him. He doesn't call his family to do anything that doesn't require faith. He never does. I'll give you a little bit of space, and there's some space back there on point number one. I'll give you some space here on point two. There's some questions that I want you to kind of be processing as we go along, and you can take this home with you, this note sheet, and spend some time this afternoon processing questions like, what must you leave to either join or to become a stronger part of God's family? If you're here today and you're not part of this church family, you're not part of any church family, if you want that, and if you want to be part of the family of God, that means you're going to have to leave some things. If you want to follow God and you want to be devoted to a life of serving him and living in his presence, you're going to have to be willing to leave some things behind. You have to be willing to leave sin behind. First and foremost, he calls us to leave sinfulness. Repent. It's a great theme throughout Scripture, is this theme of repentance. Metanoia. Change your mind. Turn around. Go the other way. God is calling us to do that. If we want to be part of his family, we want to be a faithful, devoted follower of him and a member of his family, we're going to have to leave that. The next question there under point two is, to what greater blessing is God calling you? To what greater level of service? What greater level of sacrifice? To what deeper level of commitment is God calling you? Maybe that's something deeper within the body of Christ. Maybe it's a deeper commitment to reach out beyond the family of God and to bring in those who are not yet part of the family of God, to encourage them to share Christ with them. These are greater blessings. We have to be willing to search and be open and receptive and responsive to the voice of the Lord when He calls us to go, because He always calls us to something. He doesn't always make it crystal clear, though. And that can be frustrating, can't it? I just feel this restlessness. I feel God's calling me to do something great, but it's not defined yet. When God called Abram, He spoke to him. He said, "Abram, I want you to leave everything that's familiar, and I'm gonna show you where I want you to go." That would have been tough. It'd been hard for me, you know, just uproot. Okay, God, maybe I should just spend some time praying and ask you to bring some clarity to that. Abram doesn't say that. And this is where we can admire the character of Abram. And God applauds the character of Abram for being faithful and obedient immediately. We don't see and we don't know what kind of process and what kind of struggle, emotional process Abram went through. It just says he left. He did what the Lord said. Remember, God never calls His family to do anything that doesn't require faith. If it doesn't take faith, it's probably not God telling you to do it. If it makes 100% crystal clear sense, if it's perfectly logical, perfectly rational to your human mind, it's probably not God telling you to do it. Why would God tell us to do things that we can figure out on our own? Why would God tell us to do things that we can figure out and get all the credit for in the end? That's against his policy of wanting glory. That's against His policy of wanting to receive glory for Himself. God wants us to exert faith, to put our faith in Him so that He alone gets the glory and we get the blessing. God's calling us to live lives of blessing. Not just blessing for ourselves, but to be a blessing. Look at what He says there. "I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing." This is point number 3 down here. "And I will." God always, His call always comes with a promise. Every time. His call comes with a promise here to Abram. "Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great." Remember what the big problem was last week when we looked at the people of Babel? The problem was not, "We want to build a tower." The problem was not, "Let's come together and build a city." The problem was not, "Hey, let's come together and make bricks and mortar." The problem was at the end of their plan. The problem was, "Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make ourselves look great. Let's build this giant city so that all the people who ever come to it will say, 'Look how great the people of Babel are.'" God says no to that. He scatters the nations, but He says to Abram here, "I will make your name great." Do we trust the Lord with our lives? We trust Him enough to make our name as great as He wants to make it? Whatever plan it is you have for your life, for following Him, for doing things, whether it's career, family, whatever aspirations you may have in this world, do you trust the Lord with those things? Do you trust Him to give you success? Or do you hold on to those things and become possessive about your aspirations, your desires? Say, "No, I have to do this." Hard to let go. It's hard to let the Lord get the credit. It's hard to let Him take the glory. But if we do, if we just release that to Him, then He'll make our name as great as He wants it to be. And if we release those things to him in faithfulness and follow him and obediently serve him, he'll make our name as great as it needs to be for his glory. He made Abram's name great here because of what he was doing in Abram's life. Not because of what Abram necessarily was doing, but he was making his name great. Abram put forth the faith. Abram lived a righteous life. God made his name great because of what God was going to ultimately do through Abram, through his line, through his people. And today, peoples all around the world, people of faith, are called the children of Abraham because Abram was a man of faithfulness. God's call always comes with a promise. I promise to bless you. I promise to bless those who bless you. And to him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What a great promise. I mean, this is all one statement, one little paragraph here. God's saying all of these things to Abram. That kind of promise to me would be a little bit of motivation, would be a little bit of encouragement to be more willing to leave behind the things that God was calling me to leave behind. God, if you're really going to do this, okay, I'll leave my comfortable surroundings. I'll leave my culture. I'll leave my family. And I'll pursue whatever it is that you've got for me down the road. Whatever that may be for you, I don't know. Whatever that may be for me, I still don't know. Whatever it may be for Bridge Church, I still don't know. We move forward by faith. We take steps of faith each and every day, and God gradually makes it clearer. Remember, God calls his family to an eternal possession. I appreciate Andy reading that scripture from Hebrews. I want to turn back there now to Hebrews. I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to skip back up, actually, before you turn to Hebrews. Stop off there at Luke. I just want to go back and process these three things a little bit. God calling us to leave something. God calling us to go to something. I use some examples there about leaving things. Luke 18, we find the story of the rich young ruler. It's one of the most heartbreaking stories, I think, in the New Testament. It really is. I mean, you sit down and think about this young man. You know, we don't know how old. All it says is that he was young. He comes to Jesus one day, and he asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All of these I have kept from my youth." What does Jesus say? Does he look at him and say, "Yeah, right"? No. He commends the young man, doesn't he? He says in the next sentence, "Yeah, but one thing you still lack." I mean, this was a good kid. He really had lived a life of righteousness, but one thing, just one area of his life was a problem area. Jesus said, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But it says that the young man, when he heard these things, became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." What is your wealth today? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's not possessions to the extent that this young man had wealth and possessions. But what is it that is so valuable to you but you're not willing to let go of it in order to pursue God. We have to leave some things behind. This young man wasn't willing to leave his possessions behind. As righteous and as good as he was, upright, honest citizen, he had this one thing that stood between him and God. And for each of us, it's different. You know, God knows us each, and he knows exactly what that thing is that we hold most dear. And he cuts through, and he calls us to leave it behind. Because it'll be that one thing that keeps us from experiencing the richness of a relationship with him. Down toward the end of that scripture in verse 29 there in Luke 18 says, the disciples asked him, Peter said, see, we have left our homes and followed you. We left our homes. Jesus, you know, continuing after his father's call to Abram, Jesus comes into the world and he calls men to leave some things as well. Peter said, we left our homes and followed you. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. This is the God we serve. Are you okay with the fact that he may call you to leave, that he will call you eventually to leave the thing that is most precious to you in order to pursue him? He wants to be the thing that is most precious to us. He is the treasure that is to be sought. He is the treasure that can be found. And until we let go of other treasures, we'll never have it completely, the kind of treasure he wants us to have. Looked also, as far as leaving things behind, just an example from the lives of the disciples. Matthew chapter 4, 19 and 20. This is when Jesus called the disciples. He called them to leave their means of income. Jesus said to the two brothers, Andrew and Peter, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What the heck are you talking about? I can just imagine what they were thinking. Well, let's fast forward a couple thousand years to today. Jesus comes to you, says, leave your whatever it is, wherever it is you work, whatever means of income you have, leave that. Follow me. He said, not in this economy. I'm staying put right where I'm at. Jesus, when the economy figures itself out and, you know, jobs become a little more available, then we'll talk about leaving that. Jesus called these guys to leave everything. And we don't know. I mean, we don't really know how they took care of their families when he called them to leave. But they did it. There is something so utterly compelling about the voice of God when he truly speaks into our hearts, through our lives. Men tend to do the craziest things. I think my mom and dad, if they're going to be honest, they still think I'm a little crazy. We don't know why you want to live in the frozen tundra of Northeast Ohio. I mean, I'm just going to speak for them a little bit. They probably think I'm a little... God just does that. He calls us to get out of our comfort zone. Whatever that box that you are in right now that feels good and safe, he's going to eventually make all those walls collapse down and you're going to be exposed and you're going to be in a position where you have to trust him. The disciples followed. I'm so glad they did. Abram followed, and I'm so glad he did. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. This is the faith chapter. This is the hall of fame, the hall of faith. Verses 8 through 10 and Hebrews 11 is page 866 if you're using one of these paperback Bibles. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. If we're going to follow God, we've got to follow him with the understanding that we may not live long enough to see the promise fulfilled. Abram lived as a nomad, as a wanderer, lived in tents with his family. He would settle in one place for a little time and then he would move on. He was a sheep herder, so he had to move wherever the grass was good. He never had that permanent homeland. He lived and journeyed and wandered around in it, but he never settled. He never built a house. But he did build several altars. Along the way, as God would speak to him and interact with him, and as God covenanted with Abram, with his family, and with his descendants, Abraham would build these altars. And as God begins to uproot you in your life and make you incredibly uncomfortable and send you on a mission, there's going to be some great opportunities for you to worship the Lord. That's the payphone. I don't know who would be calling that. Spencer, are you pocket dialing the payphone over there? He has the number for that phone somehow. It's not Spencer. Well, anyway. Oh, I'm so easily distracted. It's not funny. Deborah will attest to this. We went to this retreat this weekend. It's a refocusing retreat, and you know, focusing is the purpose of this event. And it's a retreat where we are learning the process for a church-wide refocusing event that we're going to begin to do this year, later on this year. And for some reason, they wanted to separate the wives and the husbands. And we were both, when we left, we were both frustrated because I need her in that room with me. When we're going somewhere where we're going to be getting a lot of information, I need her with me. She needs to be there taking notes and understanding everything. So on the way home in the car, she can explain to me exactly what I was supposed to get from that event. And she wasn't, they had the wives doing other things. And so anyway, we're now beginning to catch, she's catching me up on all the stuff as she reads the book. And hopefully I'll get it before we start this process as a church. God, I've completely jumped off my track here. God calls his family to an eternal possession. Let's wrap this up. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. I want to close here with a reading from the New Testament, a reflection on Abraham and his life. Verses 13 through 16 says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I hope that in all of our lives, we're looking for a city. We're looking for that homeland. I hope that our eyes are not focused on this earth and on this life and on all the things that we might get or do in this life for ourselves. I hope that we live like Abram as genuine descendants of Abraham. We are descendants of him by faith. Abraham's true descendants, his true seed was Isaac, the son of promise, a son that Abraham and Sarah never could have in their wildest dreams imagined they would get to have their own son. They were old. They were well past being able to have children. Bible says they even laughed at God. Sarah laughed at God. Isaac's name is laughter. They named him that probably because when Sarah was informed that she was going to have a son as a 90-year-old woman, she laughed. But it was a promise that they looked for. The homeland there in Canaan, that was a promise that they looked for. But they looked beyond that. They looked to the blessing of the cross. The true promise given to Abraham, the true blessing that Abraham was to be, was the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going to come through his line, through his family tree, through the promised son Isaac, through Jacob, through the tribe of Judah, through King David, and all the way down until Christ came into the earth. That's the promise. He is the promise. And that's what Abram was looking forward to. And we now can look to the fulfillment of that promise in Christ. And we look forward to the fulfillment of the hope of Abraham for that eternal possession where Christ will be our possession forever. We will get to be with him. We will experience his presence for an eternity. That's what motivated Abram. Abram wasn't in this thing to get rich. He wasn't in this thing to become famous. But he looked for that blessing. I hope that you and I, in our lives as members of the family of God, that we look forward to that blessing, that we look at our church as the family vehicle through which we together pursue that blessing. God's going to call us to leave some things. He's going to call us to leave maybe your seat here on Sunday morning and go back there and serve. Maybe he's going to call you to leave your desk at work and go to the break room and encounter people at your office who don't know Christ and build relationships with them. God's going to call you to leave the things that are right now comfortable for you, the things that are keeping you from pursuing him. And that's hard. You're going to have to be bold and be faithful like Abraham. But God's calling you to something. Never forget that. He's calling you to pursue something even better. Whatever it is that he's calling you to leave, he's got something better for you. There's some greater blessing. Some greater blessing. You know, I'm just going to use a little example from my life. If I had never left Republic, Missouri, I would never have had the opportunity to get to lead some of these young people to Christ. And I don't know who would have. I think about Josh Jambaluka. He's not able to be here this morning. Just this past summer, some of you know Josh. He comes and sets up here, and I baptized him back in the fall when we had our baptism. Just seeing how God is at work in his young life. And seeing just him have some aha moments on the mission trip at camp this past summer. You guys were there. You saw some of those things. I mean, that's better to me than Missouri. That's better to me than staying in a place where I would be comfortable and where I am familiar with everything around me. That's an experience I would never have gotten to have. And I don't know what it is God's calling you to specifically, but whatever it is, whatever that thing is, it's going to take faith. If it doesn't take any faith, don't bother. Because he's not going to get the glory. He wants to receive the glory. He deserves the glory. He's the one who left heaven, sent his own son, Jesus, willing to leave heaven and come down here. He ought to get the glory. I'm going to close. Andy and the ladies are going to come up. I have a closing song. The song is, "You're the God of This City." And the theme of this song, the refrain that keeps coming back, is greater things are still to come. Greater things are still to be done. Abraham was 75 years old. Now back then, granted, that was maybe middle age. In our day, that would be, you'd be a senior citizen. Abram was somewhere in the middle of his life when God called him to leave everything behind. Because there were greater things still to come for him. I don't know, I don't care who you are or what stage of life you're in. There are greater things still to come for you. If you're alive and breathing here today, there are greater things still for you, in store for you. God is calling you to a greater investment of your life in the family of God, into extending that family into the world, into extending the light of the gospel into the world. Young people, greater things than sports, greater things than making good grades, important things, good things, but there are greater things that God has for you. College age, young adult age people, there are greater things for you than just finishing college. I'm not telling you to drop out of college, but there are greater things that await you. Adults, career people who are into your careers, been in your careers, you got a, about halfway through, halfway to retirement, greater things are waiting for you. And I don't mean retirement. I mean faith things. What if God has a different plan for your life? Abraham probably would have been content keeping his sheep, doing his thing in Haran. God had something else in mind. And he was willing to go. And we, every one of us, are the recipients of that benefit, that promise, that blessing. Because of that one man's faith, he was no different than anyone around him. The Bible indicates that there was nothing significant about Abram, nothing to set him apart from anyone else. Nothing to even set him apart from any one of his two brothers. God just chose him. Same's true for you and I. There is nothing to set any one of us apart from anyone else in this world except that God has chosen. He's chosen to lay his hand on you. He's chosen to speak to you and to say, come, get up, go to a place that I'm going to show you. And we still are on that journey today. The greater things are yet to come. Let's stand together, sing this last song.